whole of the proverb, but I will read the first portion of it. Proverbs chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 9. Verses 1 through 9. Hear God's word. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. And here ends the reading of God's holy word. May God bless that reading to our hearts and to our minds. When you think of maybe the best films of all time, the 1982 musical Annie does not come to mind. It's good. It's based on a musical from 1977, and there's a song in Annie, in the movie version, called "You Are Never Fully Dressed Without a Smile." And part of that song goes, I'll read it, not sing it, your clothes may be Beau Brummel-y, they stand out a mile, but brother, you're never fully dressed without a smile. Who cares what they're wearing on Main Street or Savile Row? It's what you wear from ear to ear and not from head to toe that matters. So this group of orphans in New York during the Great Depression, in song, mention Beau Brummel. Beau Brummel was an important 19th century figure in British men's fashion. And these orphans from the 1930s connect fashion to Beau Brummel from the previous century, and they connect that to a smile. Now, a smile is something that reflects joy and character in the heart. Now, why did these orphans do this? It's because there is something that we know to be true that says that who you are internally is reflected externally. That's the wisdom of Annie in the song. That there is an internal state that is reflected outwardly, and it is something like the fashion that you wear. Now, for the young person, for most young people, what they wear is a very important way to distinguish who they are from other young people. Like, you can think about what your style was as a teenager, How did you dress as a teen? And the way that a teenager dresses is intended to tell the world something about them. It may tell them something about the rebellion that's in their hearts. It may tell the world something about how they're part of sports teams and that they love sports. It may tell the world something about how they find labels to be important, certain brands that young people may have to wear. But whatever the case, for the young person, what they wear is often a reflection of who they want the world to see that they are. What are their interests? What are their ambitions? What are their concerns in this world? Those things are reflected, especially for young people, in the things that they wear. This evening, we're looking at Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. And I want to read that again for you, and you can take into consideration what we've said about Annie and Beau Brummel and teenagers. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. See, what we have here is an admonition, especially given to young people, that they would hear the instruction and the argumentation of those that are over them, and that when they hear those things and submit to those things, it will be part of the fashion that is their lives. Now, we're going to look at this proverb, and we're going to see what it is. We're going to see the graceful ornaments and the chains, and we'll see the instruction that is before us. But I want to begin this evening with looking at the audience. The audience. Notice the proverb begins with the words, my son. My son. This is obviously, first and foremost, children, sons is the original context of Proverbs, who are being given instruction. It reminds us that the scriptures bring to the parents the main responsibility to instruct our children in the things of this life, the wisdom that it's going to take to survive in this life, as well as in the life to come. You think about how so much of our culture, when children and young people don't know something, that there's always these movements for the schools to take that on. And yet, the Proverbs remind us that instruction begins at home. The things for this life, basic human principles for living, and the things for the life to come, things concerning God and the things of God. These begin at home as the responsibility of the parents. One says he means not only that he would have his own children to be observant of him and of what he says to them, nor that he would have his pupils or those that come to him to be taught to look upon him as their father and attend to these precepts with the disposition of children, but that he would have all children be dutiful and respectful to parents and to conform to the virtuous and religious education which they give them according to the law of the fifth commandment. And you might say, well, Pastor Nathan, I could have had a longer nap this afternoon. I'm not a child. I don't need instruction as a child. This proverb is obviously intended for the young ones who are in the room. But the word son also tells us instruction that goes beyond the male child that is in the original context. Sons and daughters under the word of God, are to be careful to receive instruction. And friends, that's every one of us that wants to submit to Jesus Christ. Every one of us that wants to grow in our ability to live in this world and to be prepared for the life to come. We are called sons and daughters of God by our adoption. And we must learn to be under the Word of God. It presumes that godliness begins at home, and that sons and daughters should do their part to receive and hear instruction. But it also goes beyond that, reminding us that each one of us must hear instruction as well. Instruction is something that is to be heard, not only with the ear, but with the heart. When you learn to be in submission to the instruction from the Word of God, whether that's from parents or whether it is from other authorities in your life, you are being prepared to submit in preparation for eternity. This is where obedience to the Lord begins. Why does God want children to first learn to submit to parents? It's because children unable to submit to parents will be unable to submit to employers. They'll be unable to submit in the community, and overall unable to submit to God. So you are a son, all of you in this room, you are a son, you are a daughter, and you are called to hear as I am called to hear and to listen, and it is part of our preparation for eternity to be able to hear. But the proverb here reminds us, as I said, that godliness begins at home. But look at the second part of the proverb. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." So we've looked at the audience. We've looked at son, how it's primarily, or in its original context, the son. It includes the daughters, but it's opened up to all that would be in submission to God's word. And secondly, we're saying, what is it that we have to do? Where does this instruction come from? And we're told, secondly, of the instruction and law of father and mother. So father and mother being put forward here. Sometimes because the original audience of Proverbs are the sons of Israel, that the book gets accused of being sexist. And I want you to hear what Solomon says here. He says, "Hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." This is not sexist. This is a father and mother coming together, both giving instruction, both speaking truth from the Word of God, and Solomon saying, submit to that. So, fathers and mothers, the first application begins in the home, as I've noted. But that fathers and mothers would be all superiors in various callings within your life. Maybe you are a student in a school. You are called to submit to the instruction of your teacher. Maybe you are a college student. You are called to submit to the instruction of your professor. Maybe you are an employee. You are to submit to the instruction of your employer. And it goes on in various callings, whether that is submission to the elders as the Word of God is put before you, or employees, all of these areas. But in this, we see the equity of father and mother raising children and the investment into their spiritual lives together. This is not something that just falls on mom or something that just falls on dad. And you can hear those conversations. You can say, you're the mom, you're the one home with the kids, you instruct them. Or you can hear the wife saying, you're the father, you're the head of the household, you do this. And here the scriptures say, this is something that we do together as the children are instructed in the word of God. And the word that is given, we have instruction and law. The word instruction can be translated as correction or chastening or chastisement or discipline, even the word doctrine. Law being direction, instruction, direction, teaching, directives. And what I want you to notice in this proverb, and this is something that we'll see time and time again as we're in the Proverbs, is what we have here is what's called a positive-negative parallel. So something is said positively, and then it's said negatively, but meaning the same thing. So again, look at it. Positively, hear the instruction of your father. That's the positive. And the negative is, do not forsake the law of your mother. The positive, do this. The negative, don't forsake this. But together, they're one thing because of the grammatical structure. It's not dad saying, go ask your mother. And it's not the mom saying, I don't know, what did dad say? It's mom and dad coming together with the word of God and saying, son, daughter, here is what the scriptures say. Listen to this. Do not forsake this, because this is life. And that instruction has always been central among the people of God. Deuteronomy 6 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in the house and walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So this instruction that comes from mom and instruction that comes from dad, it is this fact. Here is who God is. Here is God's word. And those things are put before our children, and it's not pushed to the side. It's on their bedposts, it's on the doorposts, it's on the frontlets between their eyes, it's written along all the white picket gate of the house. Here is who God is, and here is what God requires. You see, children are exhorted to listen to both parents, and wise sons and daughters are listeners. They hear the instruction of parents. They want parental influence in their lives. They listen. And friends, in the church, we are also a family, aren't we? We are a family that wants to grow in the same way. And sometimes what happens in the life of the church is there'll be somebody that is converted and they're brought into the church, and you realize that in many ways this person has not been well parented. I mean, let's not name names, but you can tell those that come into the church that have been parented and those that have been sort of the feral children in the community. because that affects our lives. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because we are a family. It's our job to open the Word of God together. And sometimes that means teaching basic life skills. And sometimes that's part of discipleship as Christians, isn't it? Just teaching very basic things, things that your parents taught you many, many years ago. But that's part of our job as the family of the church, to call on one another, to submit to the Word of God, and to submit to instruction, and submit to things that are proper and decent and good and orderly in this life. You see, in the church, we have mothers and we have fathers. And together, we have the fathers and mothers and sons and daughters of the church. We saw this even last week. We had a whole line from end to end of the building. It was 10% of our congregation was up front yesterday or last week. And as those people made vows, and as parents made vows, there was a vow asked to you and to me. And it was, do you, the members of the Orlando Reformed Presbyterian Church, receive these people and then receive these children? And there's a promise made that you're going to assist. You see, we're all mothers and fathers as we come alongside of one another in this life. And we together submit to the Word of God, and we together bring instruction to the children. And there's times where we bring instruction to our peers, and we bring instruction to those that are older than us. And all of us are called as sons and daughters of God to be in submission to that instruction of the fathers and not to forsake the law of our mothers. It's not just for children. It's for all of us. We are a family too. We have the Bible. We have the things of God. Primarily parents teaching that to their children. And then there's other authorities in this life. We have the Word of God as an authority. We have elders within the church as an authority. And others within this life and the church itself, all submitting to instruction together from the Word of God, the instruction and law of father and mother. And what is the result? What is the result? Thirdly, this evening we see graceful ornaments and chains. Graceful ornaments and chains. You still may be confused about Beau Brummel. But here is what we have in the text. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains on your neck. The instruction given to these ancient teenagers sitting around Solomon's table as he gives instruction is this. He says, do you want to be fashionable, young men? Do you want to look good for the girls? Young ladies, do you want to look beautiful? Do you want to be noted as being attractive? And all the teenagers are like, of course we do, Solomon. And he says, when you live in submission to the Word of God, that internal state of mind is reflected in who you are. And people see that beauty and that grace and that fashion in your life. One commentator said, God did not make us for mediocrity. He made us for glory. And he gets us there through wisdom. God's wisdom is beautiful and impressive. And friends, when we are reflecting that in our lives, the world notices. And it's seen even fashionably. It's seen as something that you wear. It's noted for who you are. Young people, again, do you want to be desired as fashionable? Submission to the Word of God and submission to the instruction of your parents, your father and your mother. As you do that, you begin to grow and to flourish in ways that is seen as beautiful and impressive, as one who has not been made for mediocrity, but one who has been made for glory. For they will be a graceful ornament on your neck and chains about, on your head and chains about your neck. You know, the garland that victors would wear, a garland placed around the neck, or you think about Hawaii and those that that win awards in Hawaii as they have the lei placed upon their neck as fashion related to them. This is the garland, victor's wreath. And here Solomon is saying that as you live in this way, as you're hearing the Word of God as it's given to you, and as you're submitting to that and not forsaking that, not putting that off, but taking it in and letting it become a part of who you are on the inside, that it's as if that garland is placed upon your neck, and as you walk around, people say, that one is noticeable. Did you see what he was wearing? Did you see what she was wearing? And the chain is a pendant, which is a mark of prestige, a statement of honor. This is the fruit around the neck of those that submit to instruction. Greg Bonson said, one of the best signs that we reverence the Lord is that we reverence our parents. If you honor the Lord, honor your parents because He has placed them over you. And young people, I want you to know that that never goes away. It's not like the day you turn 18, you're like, well, fifth commandment's out of that list. We're always called to honor our parents. Even you can ask the oldest saints among us, even posthumously, when our parents are dead and gone and in eternity, there's a sense in which we're still honoring them. And often that honor is in how we live, in the choices we make, in the things that we pass down to the generation to come. It is garland and it is chain. And it's important to see that we honor God in this way. You know, during the time of Jesus, there is this tradition where if there was a young man and his parents were in need, that the young man could use the phrase korban. Do you know that phrase? Korban, that means all that I have, all of my wealth is dedicated to God, so it can't be used for my parents. That's a tradition of the Pharisees. And Jesus hated that tradition. He basically called it evil. You are forsaking the commandments of God for your own traditions. And that command, or that ability, that korban, that Pharisaical rule that says, I'm going to forsake my parents that I may keep my own wealth, but I'll say it's dedicated unto God. It shows us the life of the fool. You are called to honor father and mother, and that means that we submit to their instruction. And you say, well, Pastor Nathan, maybe my parents weren't Christians. And it's true, many people who are believers have parents that are not Christians, and yet we still seek to honor them. And again, we are reminded that the church is our home. We have our fathers and mothers here that we submit to as the Word of God is given to us, as instruction is given. You see, the best dressed children have graceful ornaments and chains on their necks. The best dressed children are in submission to God's holy word. Friends, you want to be well dressed. Children to parents, wives to husbands, employees to employers, church members to church leaders, citizens to rulers, but most importantly, Christians to God. This is where you learn to obey God, and it begins with the little things in the home. Every day when confrontations happen, you have opportunity to ask yourself how you are dressed. How am I dressed? What is the fashion I am putting forward? I think if Solomon had written Annie in the 1980s, he would have said, "Brother, you're never fully dressed without obedience. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." Amen. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the instruction from the wisdom of Solomon in the Proverbs. And we pray, O Lord, that we would find ourselves more and more in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his word, and that we would walk in such a way that reflects obedience to the Son. Amen.